lot going on in the fantasy baseball world. Welcome to the podcast. It's brought to you by Squarespace. And Squarespace recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7. It has a completely redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images and Google Apps, 15 new templates, and an incredible feature called Cover Pages. So try the new Squarespace at squarespace.com. You know what to do. Enter the offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace. Start here. Go anywhere. The Cubs are going places. Yeah.
Why are you starting on the north side?
The White Sox are going places, too. Sorry, the Lester news was just
biased there.
More recent. Yeah? Me, the big Cubs fan?
I'm sure Chicagoans would accuse you of such.
Well, let's talk free agency and trades as the winter meetings are going on right now. It is December 10th, a Wednesday afternoon, and we'll break down all the biggest stuff here, and I will ask you this to start it off. Most impactful move so far for fantasy.
All right. And you primed us with this question a minute before we started. And I said, I bet Scott and I agree. So
do I say it at the same time?
Yeah. I'll count to three. And one, two, three, go. Right. Not one, two, three, and then you go. All right?
Okay.
One, two, three, go.
David Josh Robertson. Donaldson.
I think Scott might have forgotten about the Hanley Donaldson stuff. Did you? The Sandoval? Or were you including everything?
No, I'm... Look, Josh Donaldson was going to be a stud either way, I feel like. And when I say David Robertson is the most impactful for fantasy, I don't mean for David Robertson's value. I mean...
For Chris Sale?
No, Betances. The guy, the team he's leaving behind.
I don't know if it's going to be Betances. I think it might be Miller.
Yeah.
I think it'll be Betances. I do. I think they're bringing him... He's kind of following the same track as Mariano Rivera here, where he's kind of a 2-3 inning setup man the year before he steps into the closer role. I mean, he's clearly their most dominant reliever. And Andrew Miller, just because he's the left-hander, he and Sean Kelly would form a nice lefty-righty duo leading up to Betances.
It's interesting. I can't disagree with anything you say, except I don't know that Betances was better than Andrew Miller.
I think he was. I think he was.
They're both great last year.
It showed just because of the number of innings he pitched. And I know that won't really influence the closer role specifically because he won't be pitching that many innings in that role. But just that much use to not be exposed in any way. And with relievers, you're always dealing with a small sample size and you always have to take that into account. I think Betances was the best reliever in baseball next year and last year. Could be the best closer in baseball this year.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know if that's maybe that's as much of an impact as Donaldson. I mean, because I get your point. I mean, he was going to be probably a top two third baseman no matter what. If Betances is a closer, I agree with Scott that he automatically joins the elite. He's one of the top six or so.
Sure.
I think Scott might have won this game.
Well, but my only thing, the reason why I think it might be Miller is just if they want to keep Betances in that two inning role, five out role, whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a given. I think there's a good logic to make Betances the closer, but I agree. It's we don't get to make the choice.
But Miller could be a great closer too.
So he could be.
It is impactful for either guy.
Yeah,
sure. So yeah, either way, there's a new closer for the Yankees, and even last year. The closer for the Yankees, Robertson. They always get a lot of saves. So
yeah.
I think it's somebody who's potentially top 10 at relief pitcher.
Sure. All right.
Just to get back to Donaldson. The change in venue is so drastic for him, and I also think that the change in the lineup now. He's part of the gutting of the A's lineup, but there wouldn't be much left for there to protect him in Oakland at this point. And he's going to a lineup that's already stacked. So I think he and Rendon are 1A, 1B at third base. And for me, this really does push Donaldson into the conversation as a potential first rounder, where I was definitely unwilling to go there before.
How about we could have a new closer in Houston? They signed two guys, Luke Regerson and Pat Neshek. And Neshek is freaking awesome.
Neshek may have been the NL version of All right, let's get on track. Let's get on the same page. How to say his name? It's Betances.
I
They always say Betances on the broadcast. It's probably, you go to his house, they're going to call him Betances.
Dellen Betances?
Yeah.
Okay, Dellen Betances. Yeah. If this guy's going to be the best closer in fantasy.
Yeah, Dellen Betances.
Neshek may have been the closest thing the NL had to him. Obviously not in terms of the innings, but he had a whip of like 0.7 something. I'd like to see him close. I don't think it's entirely clear that's the role they'll use him in, but we should know pretty soon. They also signed Luke Gregerson to actually a more attractive contract, which makes things interesting.
I didn't see the Neshek contract. I saw the Gregerson contract, which was 3 years, $18.5 million.
Oh, did you bring up Gregerson and I just went to, and I heard Neshek and started talking about
him? No, I said Neshek first. They signed two guys.
You didn't hear the terms of the contract.
Gregerson and Neshek. Yeah. Gregerson's got the 3 year, $18.5 million deal. I did not see the Neshek deal.
It's 12 and a half total. I think it's over 2 years.
2 years.
Yep, 2 years.
All right. Well,
so,
listen.
Similar, annual.
We'll get into that. Let me intro the show. We're 6 minutes in. Welcome, everybody. Happy holidays. We're getting there. It's that time of year where we have this stupid argument about whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It happened last night on Twitter. It's obviously not a Christmas movie.
You're in the not camp?
Of course.
All right, we're together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. It's so not a Christmas movie.
And I celebrate Christmas, so I should know.
Yeah, well, there you go. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I celebrate Die Hard.
I love Die Hard, but it's not a Hanukkah movie or a Christmas movie. We're going to talk about all the free agents and trade stuff over the last week and read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Email of the day is from Brad in New York City. And yes, Brad, we've answered this question, but I want to answer it again. So Brad says, I just got into the show. I listened to the last 8 or 9 on the subway, and I love it. This offseason will fly by if I can manage to intake enough baseball-related media. Anyway, I'm sorry if this has been discussed, but where do you guys see Jose Fernandez going next season in a 12-team standard league that I have to win next year? Jose Fernandez. Al, I think, is crazy high on Jose Fernandez.
He's not in my top how far did we go?
36.
Yeah, he's not in my top 36. He's probably not far outside of my top 36. Because for the 4 months he'll be pitching, I mean, you're talking about a top 10 pitcher for sure, but it's only 4 months.
Well, I thought maybe three.
I mean, maybe three? Okay, yeah. Well, then you drop him even further.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're saying 4 months of pitching?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were saying 4 months out.
No.
I was making the assumption that he'd pitch about half the year, and I've got him in my top 20. Now, I probably won't draft him that way because I don't expect anybody else to draft him that way. So where do you take him? All right, we've done no mocks or anything like that. So just from the hip here, I would think probably just before the 10th, like maybe 8th, 9th round.
See, that's when Cole Hamels was going last year.
Yeah, we didn't know how long he was going to be out.
We had a guess it was going to be like a month. And who else was the – there was another injured starting pitcher right before the season started.
There was. I can't remember offhand who it was. Well, besides Kershaw.
No, not him. And they were both going around the same –
Matt Latos?
Yes.
Bingo. That must have been it.
Scott's in Fuego today.
I can't see taking Fernandez. The thing is, it's not like he's guaranteed to come back from a knee injury and be just fine. He's coming back from Tommy John.
Oh, I can't see not taking him if he's there in the 8th or 9th.
Oh, gosh. No way.
I think the options that are there are going to be worth waiting on another round or two.
I don't agree. There's some really good players there.
But not a pitcher who's probably going to be your stud ace for 3 or maybe 4 months.
Yeah. I guess I'm a little skeptical on how great he'll be.
You're a little skeptical of the procedure itself these days.
Well, you have to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. The number of times just in the last couple years it seems to have bitten back.
Sure. Brandon Beachy.
Yeah, no, there's been a lot. Yeah. A lot of failed first procedures recently. An alarming number, in fact. But I think it's encouraging that... what are the are the Marlins saying all-star break for him?
Well, I think it's just...
June or July?
Yeah, again, I don't recall hearing anything about June.
It's
but you know, mid season. So
yeah.
I've been assuming.
Oh gosh, well
July.
Then it's if it's all right, if it's July 1st, we're talking 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and he comes back. What's he going to throw? 100 pitches right out of the gate? No way. So how comfortable are you going to be starting him until maybe mid-July? Now we're talking 2.5 months, and I don't know. I'm thinking, like, maybe I'll be the low guy on this, but I'm thinking 13th round, something
yeah.
like that.
No, I think that's fair. I was going to say that it seems like they're taking a more conservative route with his rehabilitation than they could, considering the impact of player he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives me some confidence compared to the way some of these last Tommy John surgeries have gone, where they try to come back after exactly a year and it doesn't go so great. But the point you're making about there being this kind of, I guess, trickle down effect of how it's the impact it'll have on the time he's actually around. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it really pays to be the guy who goes high on Fernandez, because
Ow.
There's a lot more that could go wrong with it than that could go right.
What do you think, buddy?
I think that I don't know. You guys are more pessimistic than I am about it, and I understand there's risk. But I just think the risk of whoever you're giving up in, say, the 9th round is not that great.
Well, last year that was like Michael Wacha, you know?
Yeah.
And Sonny
this
Gray.
This year it'll be like
all those
Jacob
guys.
DeGrom.
Yeah.
Oh, you think that late?
Yeah, I think so. And yeah,
not in the mock drafts, but in our drafts where we take not in the ADP,
not in the head to head.
Yeah, because everybody goes nuts for pitchers.
Roto,
but when we draft, definitely. Yeah, and in Roto, yeah, or you could be getting a first base. Jose Abreu was going
in the 9th round last year.
I'm sure there were a lot of busts that went there too, but.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe I need to calibrate down a round or two, but I still remember at that point of the drafts last year, the reason that I felt like we were going kind of early and aggressive on guys like Wacha and Gray was because there was risk involved there, but we looked at the alternatives of the safer guys, and they definitely were not that interesting or that irreplaceable.
Yeah.
So you're still talking about. I mean, not guys that you thought were going to pitch only half the season, but, you know, unproven, high upside, but some risk there. I don't really see, other than the fact that you're getting him for a smaller portion of the season, which I don't mean to minimize, but otherwise I don't really see Fernandez being in a different camp. Yeah, he might not be the same guy, but he might have incredibly high upside. He might be, when he comes back to the rotation, one of the top, you know, 5 or 6 starters in fantasy.
Might.
All right, so let's not talk DeGrom. Let's talk.
How about I?
Let's
look
talk
up.
More proven guys who I know are outside my top 36. Are you taking Fernandez or Gio Gonzalez?
Oh, I'm going Fernandez.
Fernandez or Jared
really?
Weaver.
I think I'm going Fernandez too.
Because those guys don't strike me as risky, particularly not Gonzalez. So
I think Weaver's risky. You don't.
I said particularly not Gonzalez.
Yeah, Gonzalez. Right. Gonzalez is a good one. How could you possibly take Jose Fernandez over Gio Gonzalez?
Because
Lance
I think
Lynn.
I think if I pass up on Gio Gonzalez, I do think probably the next round I could get Lance Lynn.
I guess, but then the other thing you're not factoring in is if you have two DL slots or less, you're tying one of them up for 3 months. And that could be very valuable. You could suffer injuries.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that with just anybody. But when you're talking about somebody who's potentially one of the 2 or 3 most productive players on your roster when he's on there.
At the deepest position. I mean, if it was like Tulowitzki who was coming back.
But it's not deep when you're talking about somebody who, again, when he's playing, is going to be much better than most of the other people at his position. I think sometimes we misrepresent pitching. Because while, I mean, it is a pitcher is less valuable, all things being equal, than a hitter in the early rounds, there is scarcity in pitching at the upper levels.
When it comes to aces, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so then let me ask you this. Because I can't think of any off the top of my head, but give me pitchers that have come back from Tommy John, and how have they been right out of the gate?
Well, unfortunately, I know there are ones who have come out right away and been really good. I'm not
John Lackey came back and was good.
Better than ever.
Better than ever.
Yeah. So there actually is a very good example. The guy I think of, and this isn't going to be compelling for a lot of people because his results were not very good, is Adam Wainwright. But his peripherals were as good as ever when he came back. Mm-hmm. And I think it was largely an issue of luck with him. I think with better luck, he would have been about as good as ever his first season back.
What about Steven Strasburg? And they shut him down late, but he was good.
Yeah, he was. I wonder if they've gotten off to slow starts. I'd have to look into that. Because if Fernandez gets off to a slow start, then you're talking 4 months or, you know, of nothing. You know what I mean? Like, he has to come back and be Jose Fernandez immediately.
Absolutely.
And I can't trust him to do that.
There is risk. I'm just saying that whatever the drop-off is from, say, round 9 to round 10, wherever I give up, and I realize it multiplies because then you go for another pitcher in round 10. Maybe that's a hitter you're not taking there that you take in round 11. So I understand it's not just the value lost in waiting another round to take a safer pitcher. But to me, it's worth it for somebody of Fernandez's caliber. And there aren't many players I would make that argument for.
Well, the good news, Al, is I like your socks.
Thank you very much. Is that sarcastic?
No, I like them.
Okay, because these are like kind of dressy socks I'm wearing with jeans.
I don't like the jeans socks combo, but I do like the socks. You're also wearing them with sneakers. So.
Yeah, it's a
terrible mix there. But it's
laundry
wintery.
Day at the Melker household.
It's also winter. It's cold out.
Yeah, you can't just get by with it.
Have you
socks.
Ever noticed though that like dress socks just like the way they feel on your feet,
tremendous.
It's so much better than athletic socks. So if you're not being athletic. Why not just wear the dress socks, huh?
That's how I roll.
It's fine. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
All right. Injuries, news, and notes presented by Squarespace. The Cubs signed John Lester to a 6-year, $155 million contract with a vesting option for a 7th year. He was a top 8 starting pitcher in fantasy baseball last year. He had his best season ever. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Best whip of his career at 1.1. And a 2.46 ERA, and he had a great K rate as well. So, struck out a batter per inning.
And now with all that money, he can go and buy a better whip.
There you go. Value up, down, or the same for Lester.
Sorry. I was shaking my head at that one.
Sometimes I just have to, like, because I don't even know what to say sometimes. So I'm just like, yeah, sure. Moving on.
you know that's a reference to cars.
No.
And this is the second time that we've had this misunderstanding in the
cars,
history of our podcast.
Like the band or the movie?
The vehicle.
Oh, the actual
thing. Oh, okay.
The kids
What's
sometimes.
Buying a better
kids
whip?
Of a generation, I think, before these kids call that a whip.
They call, whip, cars are whips?
Yeah.
With an H?
Yes. Whip.
Oh. Whips. Okay. It's a little better now.
Great joke.
But, yeah.
Upgrade. Grade the joke.
Like, all right. How expensive is a whip that he'd need that much money to buy one?
Well, I mean, he certainly can get a better one. There's no question.
Yeah.
So value up, down, or the same being a Cub?
You know, I think just because of the move to the NL, I'm going to say it's up. But there's probably a little room for regression there with him anyway. So I don't know. I would target him as a top 12 starting pitcher, probably regardless of where he went, unless it was Colorado.
Yeah, I'm thinking more top 20. I worry a little bit about regression, but I think value's about a wash for him.
You know I'm going to be asking you this about everybody, but Jose Fernandez or John Lester?
John Lester.
All right, the Cubs also signed Jason Hamill to a 2-year, $18 million deal.
Jose Fernandez.
Yeah, okay, I agree. It includes a third-year option and a $2 million buyout. Now, when Jason Hamill's good, he's really good. And he had a 2.96 ERA and 8.6 strikeouts per nine in 17 starts with the Cubs. And then he was terrible with Oakland. Although, he finished pretty strong with Oakland. 2.86 ERA in August, 2.20 yep. in September. So, going back to the NL, going back to the Cubs, do you think Hamill could have some mixed league value?
Chris Bosio is back working with the Boz. And all that's good news, yeah. I would say this makes him draftable in mixed leagues. And I wouldn't go further than that. Certainly he was better than just draftable for the time he was with the Cubs last year. But steep as the position is, guarding against his history, I would say this makes him draftable.
Hey, Scott just made me realize, you know what would happen if Chris Bosio ever went to be pitching coach for the Angels?
No.
Boz Skaggs.
Cool. I like that. Anyway. No. All right, Arizona traded Miguel Montero to the Cubs for minor league pitchers Jefferson Mejia and Zach Godley. A lot of things Al could do with Zach Godley's last name, probably. Montero has 3 years left on his deal at $40 million. Do you guys have Montero in your top 12?
Yes.
I don't think I do. I was actually looking for my rankings just now. They're not so easy to find on the site, which isn't a good pitch
for the site.
Oh, that's
not true.
But, all right, yeah, I got him here, and I can say that I do not have Miguel Montero in my top 12.
He's way up there at number 11 for me.
I don't really like him. He's been pretty bad 2 years in a row, except for like a month and a half at the beginning of last season.
Yeah, I think we had this argument earlier in an off-season podcast.
Oh, did we?
I think we were debating Russell Martin in the top 12 versus Montero, and that was my point. I mean, he got off to a great start last year, and we're like, hey, this is the Miguel Montero of old, the one who finished top five and top six at catcher 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
But then he went back to being the recent Miguel Montero, who was useless.
And they say they're going to platoon him and sit him against lefties, which probably isn't that big of a deal for a catcher since they sit anyway. But Castillo will bat against lefties, apparently, and he'll bat against righties.
All right. Until they trade him.
Anything here? Anything I want to talk about?
Nah.
David Robertson, value up, down, or the same now that he is a Chicago White Sox for 4 years and $46 million.
Probably the same. Probably the same. The Yankees weren't great last year. I think the White Sox are going to be better this year than the Yankees were last year, which doesn't necessarily translate to save totals, but yeah, to me, it's the move isn't significant for how many saves he gets.
Top five closer?
Very close. I have him eighth. Behind Betances, so that could change if Betances isn't the closer.
Yeah, well, I probably need to work on getting Betances higher in my rankings. But yeah, I also have Robertson eighth.
Betances. You know why I would go with Robertson over Betances?
Easier to say.
What's my philosophy when drafting closers? What do I like?
Proven?
Job security.
Oh.
This guy has a ton of it. They just invested $46 million in him. Their bullpen was garbage last year. He's going to have to do so badly to lose that job, which I don't expect him to do.
No.
That is an excellent point.
But if Betances struggles out of the gate, hey, Andrew Miller, come on down. You know.
Yeah, it could happen. He could be on the Price is Right.
There you go. All right, Oakland traded Jeff Samardzija and minor league pitcher Michael Ynoa to the White Sox for Marcus Semien, Chris Bassitt, double R's, and Josh Fegley. Ronhel Ravelo, maybe?
Well, I think that's probably closer than Reggie J. Ruby.
He's a first baseman. Let's talk about Samardzija going to the White Sox. Are we worried about this? Pitchers or hitters park.
Yeah, it's the opposite of the benefit that Donaldson gets going to Toronto. Chicago or U.S. Cellular Field is a similarly good ballpark, but I think it's going to have a minimal negative effect on Samardzija. I think a little bit, but not substantial.
He does give up some home runs for a ground ball pitcher, which is strange.
And 20 home runs last year.
But what's stranger is it went up when he went from the Cubs to the A's. Mm. So
that is strange.
Yeah. But the thing is, he's become such a dominant pitcher, you know, hardly walks anybody anymore, that whatever home runs he does give up, I don't think will be the kind that crush him.
Is Jeff Samardzija, you know, a bona fide must-start guy?
Yeah.
Because he had a really bad year in 2013. He's had some ups and downs in his
career. He had a bad second half. And yeah. Granted, it was bad.
But last year was just... He was a 7-13 record aside, because we all know what goes into that. He was an ace pitcher. Whatever was wrong with him before, except the home run rate, he corrected. And just became very consistent. So I have him 18th in my starting pitcher rankings. But that's probably like the line there. He's at the bottom of the top tier, or at least very close to the top tier at the position.
So Houston signed Gregerson and Neshek. Who would you guys like to see close for the Astros?
I mean, I'm hesitating here because really I'd like them about equally. I'll admit I'm rooting for Gregerson, but it's really just because he's been a closer in waiting for such a long time that I'd like to see him get his chance. I don't know that he necessarily would really be any better than Neshek.
All right. And the Pirates sign Liriano, Francisco Liriano, to a 3-year deal for $39 million.
Mm.
Are we going to get crappy, horrible Francisco Liriano of the first half or really good Francisco Liriano down the stretch?
We will see both. No, we will, because it's even in his good seasons, he goes through these stretches that are pretty miserable. So I think the overall result that you're going to get from Liriano is going to be a good one.
My reaction to this deal, though, was, wow, that's good for the Pirates. So I see it as a good thing that he's going back there. Obviously, Ray Searidge and him seem to have a good thing going.
Sure do.
Yeah. And just because starting pitcher is so deep and there are inconsistencies with him, you know, he might be on the verge of – he might be barely top 50 for me, but he's so much better than he was earlier in his career, and it's just the position around him has improved so much that that's where he lands.
So he pitched 162 and a third innings last year and struck out 175 batters, walked 81. But those 162 and a third, second most of his career, you are lucky to get 160 innings out of Liriano, but they're usually good.
And, you know, I like the little moves that the Pirates make, too, because in the past, sometimes it's the little moves that turn out to be big ones. You know, Vance Worley, Edinson Volquez, Liriano himself.
Cervelli.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know that Serge can do much to help him, but...
well, but the Pirates made it. You didn't say
but you know, they actually,
pitching.
But they have catchers that actually probably will help their pitchers.
Yeah.
And so they made a couple of little moves that probably not a lot of people thought much of, but signing Clayton Richard, who, you know, a few years ago was kind of relevant. And you know, that's a guy you say, okay, put him with Searidge. It's kind of interesting. And Josh Lindblom, who's really been the guy that shuttled between AAA and the majors and been sort of a swingman when he does arrive in a former full-time reliever. But he's the sort of pitcher I think that at PNC Park could be pretty good, you know, again, just in the way that we saw with Compton at times and you know, with Worley, guys that you wouldn't think have a lot of upside. So especially with the Pirates, I like looking at these little pitching moves that they make because these guys could be deep league sleepers.
Kevin Cash is the new Rays manager. Atlanta signed Alberto Chiaspo. I made his name Alberta Chiaspo in the notes accidentally.
You made him Canadian.
So, or female.
Or female.
So I do apologize, Mr. Chiaspo. And then I like this one. Oakland gave up Brandon Moss. Cleveland gets him for a middle infielder named Joey Wendell. I don't know much about Joey Wendell. I don't know anything about Joey Wendell.
Few did.
Exactly. So I like... Oh, Cleveland getting Brandon Moss. Good job by them.
Yeah. So what do you think of this Oakland mess? What they're
Who
giving
am I
up
to doubt Billy
what
B.
they're getting. Exactly.
But that's, I am doubting Billy B.
Yeah,
what the heck
yeah.
is going on here?
I think that's the appropriate reaction. Just you compare what they gave up for Samardzija just
right
3 months of play ago.
Yeah.
For what they got in return. And I like Marcus Semien. And the you know the fact he's going to be playing shortstop for the A's I think is great for his fantasy value because it's such a weak position and all of that. But he's not like a you gave up an
he's not Addison Russell.
You gave up an ace for you know less than can't miss guy there. It's very likely Marcus Semien hits 150 in April and we never see him play again. You know.
Well, and I think Brandon Moss unless they just don't feel like he can come back from the hip injury. Which can be really bad. He's a 30 home run guy, even if he's a platoon player. Like, I just don't know how you give up Brandon Moss.
Yeah.
And these guys
yeah.
weren't expensive either. Well,
yeah.
Samardzija.
I just figured they're clearing payroll for some big move, and I don't know if it's even going to be this offseason. But if they land Max Scherzer, then it all makes sense. But otherwise, it looks pretty bad.
Does landing Max Scherzer on a 7-year deal for like $180 million? I'd rather have Donaldson, especially when he's team controlled.
Like, what's Like the only way it makes sense, I guess, is if they're having to rush to do something, like, because these seem like rushed moves. You know, the Samardzija is a good enough player that if somebody would have been more desperate to get him than this, I feel like. And look, I'm not a GM. I'm not involved in the discussion.
No, you are, Scott. Don't sell yourself short.
But that's just like from some of the moves going on around this like I said, just midway through last year, it just doesn't add up.
Well, look, I mean, a lot of people doubted the Diamondbacks for a lot of the trades they made, and turned out to be terrible for their team. You know, so sometimes horrible moves get made, and you start to say, well, I'm not a GM or anything, but I don't know. We know enough about baseball. People know enough about baseball.
Yeah. No, it's Billy Bean. It's the reason you can't trust your own judgment is because it's Billy Bean, and he has different ways for evaluating players, and it usually pans out for him, and he has so much job security that he can get away with making mistakes that other GMs can't too.
All right, reminder, today's podcast brought to you by Squarespace. Go ahead and make your website on Squarespace. I promise you it's easy, it's cheap, and it looks awesome. New redesigned Squarespace 7 interface, integration with Google Apps. We got a partnership with Getty Images on Squarespace now. There are 15 new templates and cover pages, and the customer support is 24/7. If you run into any issues, that support team will help you out. It starts at just $8 a month, and you're going to get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Oh, and it's going to look good on every device every time, your phone, your tablet, your computer, every device. Start a free trial with no credit card required and build your website today. And when you sign up for Squarespace, use the offer code FUN. You're going to get 10% off. You'll be showing your support for our show. Yeah! And we thank Squarespace for supporting our podcast. That's Squarespace. Start here. Go anywhere. I'm going to the inbox to read some emails. Are you guys going anywhere over Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going up north. Going to Maryland, actually.
Well, how about that? When are you leaving?
Day after Christmas.
Oh, okay. So we have another podcast with you.
Oh, yeah.
Before the year ends.
Yeah, you're not.
How about you, Scott?
You're
not going anywhere.
Yeah, there's a baby.
You can't leave.
Barely a month old. We're going to stay close to home for that one.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Here's Jeremy. He says, hey, rock, paper, and scissors.
Hmm.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play rock, paper, scissors on the air and see if one person can come up victorious and beat the other two. Paper, scissors, shoot.
All right.
All right.
All right.
You ready?
Yes.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, wow, I'm the big loser.
Yeah.
Both of you threw rock, and I went scissors. Should have gone paper. Keeper, four keepers, categories league. I'm keeping Cano, Edwin Encarnacion, and Rendon. So do I keep Lucroy or Xander Bogaerts? Average, OPS, runs, homers, total bases, steals, and RBI. Lucroy or Bogaerts?
You are keeping. All right. So what are the terms of this league again? Sorry.
It's a categories league.
Lucroy. Category. It's just a straight categories league. You go Lucroy. I mean.
Yeah.
Right, is there something I'm missing here? I'm doubting myself.
Why?
Well, you're only keeping four, so there is turnover. Why? Because, catchers have short shelf lives.
And shortstops who can hit are scarce, but he can't hit yet, and you can draft him easily enough, I think.
That's true, yes. So in that context, yeah. You could probably draft. Lucroy might go in the fourth round. If it's a two-catcher league, then yeah.
Go with The Rock.
Here is Nicholas from Plainville, Massachusetts. Would you, Azer, would you rather listen to Shake It Off or Call Me Maybe for one whole day nonstop? That's so easy.
Yeah, you're going to go Call Me Maybe, right?
Absolutely.
It's catchier.
Dear Lewis Clark and Sacagawea, most of the signs... See, this is a problem when you don't read the email before you read it on air. Most of the signs are pointing to John Lester signing back with the Red Sox, and I have a question regarding his fantasy output. Do you think the off-field drama and his contract and relationship with the Red Sox would affect his early season numbers now that he's back with Boston? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think he'll be a total bust with Boston.
Chris Bosio.
Here's one from Travis. Dear Huey, Dewey, and Louie, My name's Travis from Ventura, California. I'm in a keeper league, 12-team standard league, not roto. Pick two. I have three outfield spots and two utility spots to field, so keep that in mind, that I can keep three players for 3 years maximum. And last qualifier. Carlos Gomez is his one. He's keeping him. He has 1 year left on his contract. So pick two. Rendon, Harper, Ortiz, Melky, Adrian Gonzalez. Psh, easy.
Yeah,
give me the Nats.
Rendon and Hoppe. Oh, we got to grade the trade. Jesus, a lot of people here. Nope, we're skipping this one. Too many people. How you guys doing? Sorry, I didn't put the emails in the rundown. Once again, ran out of time. All right, Jerry and Jackson says, hello, Bernard, Brian, and Ray.
Bernard.
Kings? No, I don't know who Brian King would be.
Brian and Ray.
I play in a 14-team head-to-head points league. Keepers cost a round higher than drafted and then move up around each additional year kept. Players that went undrafted or picked after the 13th round will cost a 13th round pick. We keep three. I'm keeping Carlos Gomez in the ninth. So give him two more. Bogarts in the ninth. D. Gordon in the 13th. Yelich in the 13th. Soler in the 13th. Will Myers in the 8th, Machado in the 9th, and Jock Peterson in the 13th.
I'm so good.
Yeah, Soler and Yelich.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
Sounded good to me. Does that mean one of them goes, you lose a 12th rounder for? Does it like keep going up?
I would assume so. Year after year it goes up, yeah.
Well, you can't lose two 13th round
he
picks.
Can, he said, because he'd made trades.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Bernard, Brian, and Ray. Oh, no. I don't know. You've stumped me. I thought these were Ravens running backs, but I don't know who Brian would be.
Mm. Yeah, that would have been
Billick.
There you go. Perfect. Next email is from Phil from Sylvan Lake. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Where's Sylvan Lake? Anyone know? It's got to be Canada. They're always Canada.
There's Sylvan Township, I think, in Michigan. Maybe has a lake.
Hello, Wayne, Mario, and Gordy. This one I know.
They sound like hockey players.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out my keepers for next year. I hope you could help me out. Here's the league info. 12-team mixed league. Each team keeps seven players with a three-year cap and one lifetime keeper. 23-round draft, first 7 rounds of your keepers. I loaded up on draft picks last year. I have the first overall pick and no picks lower than the 10th round. Votto is my lifetime keeper, so help me pick six more. Jesus, there's a lot of people here.
You're committed to it now.
Starlin Castro, George Springer, Bryce Harper, Devin Mesoraco, Shin-Soo Chu, Xander Bogaerts, David Murphy, Pedro Alvarez, Gene Segura, Ryan Zimmerman, Alex Rios, Danny Santana, Matt Harvey, Marcus Stroman, Andrew Kashner, Michael Wacha, and Alex Wood. All right, now let's do this again. I'll eliminate some. Starlin Castro, George Springer, Bryce Harper, Devin Mesoraco. I'm not going to eliminate that many. Devin Mesoraco, Shin-Soo Chu, Xander Bogaerts, Segura, Ryan Zimmerman, Danny Santana, Matt Harvey, Stroman, Kashner, Wacha Wood.
All right. I got six for you. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Harper, Springer, Mesoraco, Bogaerts, Harvey, and Wood.
I want to apologize to everyone. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, and that's Alex Wood, I assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I couldn't decide between Wacha and Wood, but I'll go with Scott. I'll let Scott break the tie for me.
John in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, is in a keeper league. I want to apologize to everyone. I usually put all the emails in the show, in the rundown, but I ran out of time. I had a meeting. I had to get into the show and yada, yada, yada. 10-team standard league, 5x5 roto, 5 keepers, $260 budget. So he's keeping Goldschmidt for 15, Abreu for 7, Donaldson for 10, and Cueto for 10. So help him pick a fifth. Carlos Gonzalez for $10. Bryce Harper for $24. Garrett Richards for $10. Justin Upton for $21.
I kind of like it's between Richards and Upton for me, I think. And
I'm sorry, who are the other two again one more time?
Cargo for 10, the bad Cargo for 10, and Bryce Harper for 24.
Oh, never mind. Cargo for 10.
Carlos Gonzalez for 10?
Yeah. I don't like him very much, but 10 is too good of a price tag.
I'll go Upton and Richards.
Toby from Jersey. By the way, you only need to pick one. Upton or Richards.
Ah, Upton.
Toby from Jersey needs keeper help. 12-team league. Keep 5. No penalty. It's categories. Carlos Santana. Jason Hayward. Dustin Pedroia. Joey Votto. Troy Tulowitzki. Madison Bumgarner. John Lester. Yu Darvish. Alex Cobb. Alex Wood. Alex Gordon.
Alex Trebek.
Yeah, Alex Trebek. So keep 5. You want the names again?
Sure. Yeah, I guess.
All right, we're not keeping Alex Gordon. We're not keeping Dustin Pedroia.
No.
Right?
Correct.
Carlos Santana, Jason Hayward, Joey Votto, Tulowitzki, Bumgarner, Lester, Darvish, Alex Cobb, Alex Wood, Alex Gordon, Alex Trebek.
So how many keepers?
5.
5? Okay. I have
Alexander the Great.
I have Tulo, Votto, Lester, Darvish, Bumgarner.
I have Votto, Tulo, Mad Bum, Lester. I have Darvish. I feel like there was a hitter. Oh, you know
what? Carlos Santana or Jason Hayward.
And you said this is Roto?
Hayward, yeah.
All right. If it were points, I'd go Santana over Lester, but it's not, so I won't. So, yeah, Votto, Tulo, Mad Bum, Lester, Darvish.
Same 5.
Last one. Michael in Philadelphia. Hello, Marquise, David, and Ryan.
No idea.
Grissoms.
Marquise Grissom. I figured I'd get this question in before Adam gets annoyed by keeper questions. 12, too late. 12-team, 6x6 category keeper league. Keep 4. Who should my fourth be? Keep as long as you want. Subtract a round each year. Danny Santana, round 11. Jacob deGrom, round 11. Yan Gomes, 11. Felix Hernandez, round 3. David Price, round 3. John Lester, round 12. Drew Smyly, round 22.
Lester. That was pretty easy for me when you consider the rounds.
Yep. Lester.
You like Lester in 12 better than deGrom in 11?
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to go deGrom until you said Lester, and it's like, forget
what
that.
About Smyly in 22?
Yeah, no.
You were Smyly, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, thanks, guys. Back next week with another fun edition of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Thanks a lot. See you later.